जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopala Krishna Goswami Maharaj on Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 3, Verse Number 17, delivered on 5th of July 2017 in Vancouver, Canada, on the topic Lack of Determination Causes All Fall Down.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
श्री ब्रह्मा उवाच, लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सेड, Utista, please get up. Utista, get up. Badram, good fortune. Te, unto you. Tapashidha, perfect in executing austerities. Asi, you are Kashyapa, O son of Kashyapa, Baradaha, the giver of benediction. Aham, I, Anuprapta, arrived. Briyatam, let it be submitted. Ipshitaha, desired. Varaha, benediction. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Lord Brahma said, no, just one second. Lord Brahma said, O son of Kashyapa Muni, please get up, please get up. All good fortune unto you. You are now perfect in the performance of your austerities. Therefore, I may give you a benediction. You may now ask from me whatever you desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. Purport. Srila Madhvacharya quotes from the Skanda Purana, which says that Hiranyakashipu, having become a devotee of Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, and having undergone a severe austerity to please him, is also known as Hiranyaka. Rakshasas and demons worship various demigods, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, just to take the post of these demigods. This we have already explained in previous verses.
Sri Chaitanya Manovetam Savitamena Bhutve Vayam Rupa Kadave Dadi Swaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Jiva Shri Gaur Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Brahma Vacha,
Ipasito Varaha. So Lord Brahma is the speaker of this verse. And this chapter is called Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. Yesterday we explained that now Hiranyakashipu is playing the role of a demon. In his heart of hearts, he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he agreed to do this tapasya just because the Lord wanted to appear and perform his superhuman pastime. Now, Hiranyakashipu was performing austerities with great determination. This point is mentioned in this verse. What did Brahma say? You have performed these austerities. You have performed extreme austerities. So Hiranyakashipu's austerities were extreme. How many of you did Nirjal this time? Nirjal Ekadasi. How many of you did Nirjal Ekadasi? The last two Ekadasi. Okay, anyway, Nirjal Ekadasi. How many people normally observe? Maybe 10% of you. Small percentage. And we observe Nirjal Ekadasi for 24 hours. And we think we've made a great achievement. But Hiranyakashipu observed Nirjal Ekadasi for 100 celestial years. For 100 celestial years, we did not take a drop of water. Is that a small achievement? For 100 celestial years, standing on the toes. Yesterday we explained how if we were to do a yoga, even the best of yoga teachers could probably not stand more than 10 or 15 minutes. I do this exercise standing on the toes in my yoga. But here was Hiranyakashipu, who stood on his toes for 100 celestial years. 6 months of our earthly planet is equal to 12 hours of the heavenly planets. And this is not fiction, this is not mythology. Sometimes people say, oh, the Vedas is just a mythology and fiction. It's not reality. During the British rule, the Britishers brought their scholars from England. They came to India and they studied Sanskrit language. And after studying Sanskrit, they translated many of the Vedic texts. And they proved that, oh, this is all imagination, mythology. It cannot be a reality. Because if we tell a conditioned soul in today's environment, Hiranyakashipu stood on his toes for thousands and thousands of years, they say impossible. So we need devotional eyes to understand this scripture. Just like at one time we were having a case in Los Angeles. This was in the early days of our movement. And in the court case, the government prosecutor brought a picture of Nrisimhadeva in the courtroom and said, my Lord, this is the God they worship, half man, half lion. Is that possible? And naturally, the ignorant jury said, no. How is it possible, half man, half lion? But they don't understand God can appear as a fish, as a boar, as a half man, half lion. God is Achintya. Achintya means inconceivable. So the devotees of the Lord, like Hiranyakashipu, he performed great austerity. And he stood on his toes. He had ants crawling all over his body. You know, you lose a small part of your skin and you feel pain, am I right? Sometimes, is it right, Peter? And Hiranyakashipu had the whole, all the skin of his body eaten up. Everything was eaten up. Still, he was standing with his hands raised to the sky. Not only was he standing on his toes, he was standing on his toes and looking and looking at the sky with his hands raised towards the sky. This is not an ordinary achievement. So Brahma is saying, I am very pleased by your austerities. Brahma was already warned by the other demigods that Hiranyakashipu is performing these austerities because he wants to occupy your position. He wants to take your chair. This happens in the earlier verses of this chapter. Prabhupada talks about a ruler in Bengal called Nawab Hussain Shah. At one time, Subhudi Roy was a very big zamindar, biggest zamindar of Bengal, almost equal to a king. And he had a servant called Hussain. He kept the servant like a son. But one day the servant, he robbed something in the house. And so Subhudi Roy, as a punishment, whipped him, which left a mark on his back. By manipulation, Subhudi Roy became poor and Hussain Shah became the king. And he became Nawab Hussain Shah. Nawab Hussain Shah, for whom Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami were working. So, one day, the wife saw this mark on the back of the husband. She said, oh, how did he get that mark on your back? And he revealed the story. How when he was younger, he was serving in the palace of Subhudi Roy, but he had stolen something. So as a punishment, Subhudi Roy gave him this slight whip. So the wife said, now you have become the king. Now no one can stop you. Kill him, what he did. So, Subhudi Roy, Nawab said, how can I kill him? He treated me like a son. And he whipped me because I stole something. He was right in doing what he did. The wife persisted. Okay, if you don't want to kill him, at least make him a Muslim. Those days, to become a Mohammedan or be converted to Islam was very easy. If you work for a Mohammedan, then you'll be declared to be a Muslim. And if you even ate food in a Muslim house, you would become an outcast. So Hussain Shah said, okay, I'll make him a Muslim. So he called him from his bucket, poured water. And he became an outcast. Now Subhudi Roy didn't know what to do. His family said, now you can't stay at home. You have to stay outside. So Subhudi Roy went to the brahmanas of Varanasi and he told them, what should I do now? Now I've become an outcast. And the brahmana said, drink boiling ghee and commit suicide. That's the best alternative for you. And he said, Later he went to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, chant Hare Krishna and go to Vrindavan and serve the Vaishnavas. So then he came to Vrindavan. He was earning 2 paisa a month. That was his income. And out of 2 paisa a month, he would spend nearly all his income in taking care of the widows who came from Bengal to Vrindavan. Anyway, Prabhupada gives an example of Subhuti Roy and Hussein Shah to show sometimes the servants get very ambitious. So Hiranyakashipu similarly had become very ambitious. He wanted to take Brahma's position, but he thought Brahma's position is immortal. Of course, as we explained yesterday, eventually Brahma does die, but the duration is very long. There's also another example. Demons worship demigods to get quick benediction, and sometimes they try to take their position. There was a demon called Vrikasura. You know that story? Vrikasura met Narada Muni, and he said, who can give me the benediction the fastest? Vishnu, Brahma, or Shiva? Narada Muni knew Vrikasura is evil-minded. So Narada Muni was consulted. Who should I go to who for benediction? Narada Muni said, go to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is Ashutosh. Ashutosh means what?
Easily
pleased, easily displeased. So Vrikasura went to Mount Kedarnath and Lord Shiva wasn't there. So in order to attract Shiva's attention, he started chopping the flesh off from his body. And on the 7th day, he was about to chop off his neck and offer it in the yagya. When Shiva came in, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is not good. You're offering the flesh from your body in the fire. And he restored everything. And he said, what do you want? I'll give you the benediction you want, but put the flesh back. So he said, I want a benediction. Whenever I place my hand, everything underneath it may what? It burst. Lord Shiva, I can't give you such a benediction. This benediction will be destructive. How can I give you such a dangerous benediction? You promised. You told me you'll give me a benediction. Oh, you have to give it. So reluctantly, Lord Shiva gave the benediction. And as soon as he got the benediction, what did he do? He tried placing his hand on Lord Shiva's head. And Lord Shiva had to flee. Eventually, the Lord knew why Lord Shiva was fleeing. So Lord Shiva, the demigod, also when they're in trouble, they turned to Krishna. So Shiva entered into the Swetadeva planet. And the Lord knew why Shiva was running. So the Lord disguised himself as a brahmachari. And behind Shiva came Vrikasura. Vrikasura, why are you running? Oh, I'm chasing Shiva. He gave me a benediction. Wherever I place my hand, everything underneath will burst. I want to place my hand on Shiva's head. He had his eyes on Parvati. So the Lord said, don't you know that Shiva's benedictions have no potency left? Ever since he had a quarrel with his father-in-law, he was cursed. Now he has no potency left. If you place your hand, if you kill him without any reason, then you will be punished. So first test, whether the benediction was true or not. And Vrikasa said, that's a good idea. So he placed his hand where? On his own head. And then, so demonic people have various plans. And Prabhupada explains they worship the demigods so that they can get quick benediction. So Hiranyakashipu, he was also performing great austerities with determination. That is important to understand. Determination is an important feature of spiritual life. Without determination, it is impossible to succeed spiritually. One of the reasons why devotees fail spiritually is they lack determination. Is that true?
Yes.
They lack determination. The moment there is the slightest inconvenience or difficulty, they want to give up devotional service. So determination is a must. Rupa Goswami gave us many wonderful books. Narottam Das Thakur says, Rupa Raghunatha Paide Kaibi Akruti Kabe Avahirava Sayyugala Pirati. When will that auspicious day come when I'll read the books of Rupa Goswami? But Srila Prabhupada translated two of his books, identified as Nectar of Devotion and Nectar of Instruction. Both these books are extremely important. I was at Prabhupada in 1971 or 72, 71 in Los Angeles, when Prabhupada had just received an advanced copy of Nectar of Devotion. At that time, my books were being published in Japan at Dai Nippon Press. And the whole temple room with Watsak Avenue was crowded. Prabhupada lifted the Nectar of Devotion and said, this is the law book of the Krishna Conscious Movement. Everyone should study this book. So in Nectar of Instruction, there are only 11 verses, am I right? 11 verses. 11. But every verse is so significant. So Rupa Goswami tells us how we can progress the spiritual path. In the famous verse, he said, Utsaha Neshtaya Dhariyat Tat Tat Karma Pravartanat Sangat Yage Satavrate Sadvir Bhakti. What else? Prasiddhati. Prasiddhati means blossom, develop, increase. So if we want a devotional career to be successful, if we want to enhance our service to the Lord, Rupa Goswami says, be enthusiastic. Utsaha. Now why should we not be enthusiastic? Once I had arranged a display of Prabhupada's books at a prominent bookstore in Bombay. This was in 1976. But not many books were sold, even though there was a display of Prabhupada's books. Not many books were sold after 1 month. So I went to Prabhupada and said, oh, this was 77. Not many books were sold, even though we had a display of books in the show window. In the show window, we had a rack. Not many books were sold. Prabhupada said, my books are distributed because of the enthusiasm of my disciples. And in the bookstore, naturally the salesmen are not enthusiastic. So enthusiasm is a must. And we should be enthusiastic regardless of what our service is. our service may be that of a pot washer. There's one devotee in the Montreal temple, he's a Prabhupada disciple, I think his name is Devaloka. He has been coming to wash pots in the Montreal temple ever since, for the last 40 years. Comes every day, washes pots, and he washes pots with so much enthusiasm. It's amazing. If we tell most devotees, go and wash pots, what do you want me to become a pot washer? That's why joy is gone. Tell someone to sweep the floor. You want me to become a sweeper? There was a king of Orissa called King Pratapurudra. He tried to gain an audience with the Lord. The Lord said, no, I can't give darshan to somebody who has to deal with women and money. Then Lord Nityananda took some garments of the king, of the Lord, and he gave it to the king, who worshipped the garments exactly as he would worship the Lord. And the Lord gave an audience to the king's son. Actually, the Lord was increasing, intensifying the desire of the king to see him. But on the occasion of Rath Yatra, Lord Chaitanya saw that the king was doing menial work. He was doing the work of a sweeper. What was he doing? Sweeping the floor, the path on which the chariot would move with a golden broom. Not only sweeping the floor, the road, but also wash the road with scented water. So when Lord Chaitanya saw, here's a king doing the job of a sweeper on the cleaning the road for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. The Lord gave him, what did he give him? Special darshan. The Lord had organized eight kirtan parties with each chariot. One chariot, one kirtan party would be on the left side of the chariot, the other on the right, one behind, and I think five in the front. And Lord Chaitanya was dancing. He had expanded himself. Just like in Dwarka, Krishna had 16,000 one and eight queens. But it's not that Krishna would live one day in one palace, another day in another palace. By his inconceivable energy, he expanded himself and he was simultaneously present in each of the palaces. Narada Muni, when he went to Dwarka to see the Lord, he saw in every palace the Lord was passing or performing a different pastime. So God can expand Himself in unlimited forms. The impersonalists say, if God is all pervasive, how can He have His original spiritual form? But Prabhupada explains, if you take an ordinary piece of paper, tear it into small pieces, the original paper is lost. But in the case of the Lord, now He is present everywhere, He retains His original spiritual form. So, Lord Chaitanya was present in all the kirtan parties, and only few devotees, every party was singing, well, I'm so fortunate, the Lord is in my party. But only few devotees could see that the Lord is simultaneously present in all the parties. And He gave one of their special benediction to whom? To King Pratapurudra. Only because he was enthusiastically performing very menial task of a sweeper for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. So we should be enthusiastic in our service. That also understand. Be determined to succeed on the spiritual path. Determination, as we have often said, is very important, paramount, if you want to succeed spiritually. Prabhupada gives a famous example of the sparrow whose eggs were stolen by the ocean. And the sparrow threatened the ocean, "Return my eggs or I'm going to dry you up." And what did the sparrow ocean say? What did the ocean say?
So we're not.
"Get lost. I'm not going to return your eggs." And the sparrow said, "If you don't return my eggs, I'm going to dry you up." Can you imagine drying up an ocean without taking out one few drops of water? It's an impossible task. But the sparrow was determined to get her children back. And then Garuda came to her rescue. This is a very famous example, which everyone in ISKCON knows. The point is, we need determination. One question that devotees often ask, how can I get determination? How can I develop humility? These are common questions asked all over the world. So, how do you get determination? What did the scripture say? Association. Okay. How do you get determination in spiritual life? Following regulated principles. Two answers. Following regulated principles and association with the body. What else? Good sadhana. You get determination. I'm surprised you don't know the answer. You get determination by performing bhajana kriya. Of course, association is included in that. But the real thing is bhajana kriya. Rupa Goswami explains, adho shraddha tada sadhu. In the initial stage, you must have this desire, I want to pursue real spiritual life. And if you have the desire, the Lord who is in the heart understands that. Sometimes the conditioned soul says, how can the Lord understand what's in my mind? That Prabhupada answers this. Many times you can pass through a beautiful forest or garden and identify the fragrance of the flower just by smelling, isn't it? So the Lord, He smells your desire. He knows exactly what you are desiring second to second. Exactly. And if your desire is sincere, He gives you the appropriate association. And if you have the appropriate association, then He gives you this intelligence to follow the advice. And that is called bhajana kriya. Then you get anartha nivritti, and then you get nishtha, determination. So if you want determination in spiritual life, you have to pay a price. Just chanting the determination mantra will not suffice. You have to make an effort. And if you're making a sincere effort, then you will get determination. So Lord Brahma was very pleased because Hiranyakashipu performed austerities which were almost inconceivable, but he performed them with determination. He was determined. He had to go through so many hardships. And another point to notice in this verse is that Brahma is saying, I will try to fulfill your desire. He didn't say, Okay, Hiranyakashipu, stop your meditation, stop your austerity. I will give you what you want. No. He said, I will try to fulfill your desire. What did he say? Now ask for me whatever your desire, and I shall try to fulfill your wish. He didn't say, I'm definitely going to fulfill your wish, just ask me what you want. Because in Brahma, when Hiranyakashipu told Brahma that he wants to become immortal, how can I give you that benediction even I have to die? Then he gave various, he extracted, okay, I'll not die in the sky or the land or the water. I won't be killed by a human being or an animal. Why did he say animal? Why? His brother was killed by the boar in Malaysia. He took precaution. So he got all these assurances and he thought that now he was secure. But he doesn't realize that Vishnu is more intelligent than him. And Prabhupada was lecturing in Los Angeles on Nrisingha's appearance day. And Prabhupada said, after killing Hiranyakashipu, Lord told Brahma, don't give such promises in future. You made my job very difficult. So, in this verse we see that Hiranyakashipu, the Lord Brahma, is telling Hiranyakashipu, stop these austerities. And Brahma poured more water from his pot on Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu was restored to a young, energetic man. So here we see that Lord Brahma is telling Hiranyakashipu, stop these austerities, I will try to satisfy your desire. He didn't say, I will definitely try to satisfy. In this plan, in this chapter, we are reading about Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. And the next chapter you'll read how he terrorized all the inhabitants. So by reading these stories, by reading these pastimes, we make spiritual advancement. Our whole process is Shravanam and Kirtanam. Hear and chant. So we should so mold our lives that we can regularly hear these pastimes. Reading the Bhagavatam, hearing the Bhagavatam every day is a must for spiritual advancement. Even if you read one verse, two verses, read one or two verses a day. What does the Bhagavatam say? Nasta Prayesha Padesha Nityam Bhagavat Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Naisaki. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing or reading, well, many of you live at home, so read and hear, and then what's inauspicious we destroy it. Just like Cheta Dharma Marjanam, by chanting the holy name, the heart gets cleansed. So hearing Bhagavatam, the heart gets cleansed. And when the heart gets cleansed, then you can understand spiritual life better. So to summarize, Hiranyakashipu was performing these extensive austerities with the desire that he may become immortal. And Lord Brahma here is telling him, stop these austerities, I will try to satisfy you. And Hiranyakashipu performed these austerities with great determination. And without determination, none of us can succeed on the spiritual path or any path. In our material life, we need this revelation. So, Krishna gives us the strength to perform determination. Krishna gives us the strength to perform with determination, provided we have good sadhana bhakti. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
We can take on questions for some. Any questions? No questions? Yeah. The local devotees don't ask questions. You know, all the visiting devotees ask. Yeah. Okay, quickly.
Sometimes there are stories in the sense that it's hard to stay steady enough. How do you stay steady?
Sometimes, can you repeat?
Like in a temple or anywhere serving, sometimes it's the night programs and it's hard to stay steady.
But that's not every day. If we have devotees go out preaching every night, I'll be very happy. But our devotees want to go to bed by 8 o'clock. So, if you look at the calendar, you're lucky if they have one engagement a month. How many engagements a month do you have?
Personally or collectively? Certainly not very many.
Anyway, if you're going out preaching and toiling so hard, then that toiling hard will be your sadhana. Any more?
How to create
this is a leader's job. This is the leader's job. Whether you're a GBC man, guru, temple president, our job is to inspire and make others enthusiastic. And how can you do that? You can make others enthusiastic by preaching, no, by exemplary behavior. The leaders have to be exemplary, and if they are exemplary, they will inspire others. And if they are not exemplary, people say, look, the guy talks like this and does like this. People are intelligent these days. So the best way to inspire others, in the right Kripaniti, is to preach by example. We're going to stop in 2 minutes.
On that point, Maharaj, in Chaitanya's Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj describes that some people, they're very exemplary, but they don't preach.
Yeah.
Whereas other devotees, they preach, but they're not very exemplary.
Some practice and do not preach, and some preach and do not practice. But you are simultaneously doing both, he tells Sanatana Goswami. He says practice and preach. He doesn't say enthusiasm. Practice means you have to practice. So if you do both, that is higher. Am I right? You wanted to say something?
I mean,
Did he want to say something? Or did he want to say?
The example was Arjuna's guru.
Yeah.
He was exemplary and he also did a lot of preaching. So he
Arjuna was so pure that people would flock and come from a distance to see him. Yeah.
When you're talking about the preaching, so how does the preaching process, either by Buddhist preaching, by a college that is sale or devotees, how does it
work? Someone picking up Omkar today. Are you picking up Omkar?
Yes, I am picking up.
What time?
10:40 is
now. Okay. I'm sorry, I was. But I just remembered. Repeat your question.
You're talking about the preaching and the distribution or any college programs, any preaching work. How does it protect our religious service? How does it work?
Of course, preaching should be encouraged by, preaching should be accompanied by good sadhana, which includes chanting. If we just go to preach and we don't chant ourselves, we don't have good sadhana, then your preaching will not be so effective. How does preaching help? Preaching helps in the following way. The Lord wants us to preach because the Lord is in anxiety. You say, oh, Krishna is in anxiety? Why? We always thought that Krishna was always blissful. Krishna is also in anxiety when he sees all his conditioned souls rotting in the material world. So the devotee is trying to reduce the anxiety of the Lord by preaching. The Lord is in great anxiety. So, Krishna is very obliged to those who preach. And some of us don't want to preach. We want to be misers. Miser means what? He has money, but he doesn't want to spend. So, we have knowledge, but we don't want to give to others. We want to keep it to ourselves. So, there is one of the reasons why a devotee preaches is to reduce the anxiety of the Lord. The Lord wants to reclaim all the conditioned souls. Alright? That right? He wants everyone to go back to Godhead. But we, the conditioned souls, say, no, I'm happy here. Like the pigs eating stew. You give the pig some attractive rasgulla, he'll reject it. So that's our condition. Okay, any more questions? Hare Krishna.